Scott, do you know Jess, my co-host?
We haven't.
This is Scott Potasnik.
Nice to meet you.
I'm currently washing off. Fucking, you better wash that off, too.
Oh, yeah, I am always nervous about who was here before.
Pat was...
Yes, but I think Scott takes it to a new...
Are you going to, like, since you've been here 6 hours, you're going to be all... Oh, by the way, we're recording. Jason said it was recording, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, so, we know we're recording.
So...
Did you bring something? Did you bring gifts? What'd you bring?
What's your favorite thing at Target when you go in?
Popcorn.
I didn't know you liked. I was gonna bring my favorite popcorn for everybody, but they didn't have what I wanted. Do you eat peanut butter?
I eat peanut butter. I've never had peanut butter popcorn.
Well, they're my favorite aside from.
Oh my god, this is so great!
Yeah, they're they make a special edition sugar cookie one. They didn't have it. They always have it at Target. They didn't have it, but these are my second favorite. So
second,
I just didn't want anybody having any. Low blood sugar and then ruining anything we talk about.
Sure. I appreciate. I am hypoglycemic for real.
No,
I don't think I've ever had anyone bring me a gift on the podcast.
Gotta have gifts.
That's true.
This is the first gift. The first of many, I hope. Right?
Are they all still in this meeting?
Yeah.
Oof. I think you got it.
I know. It's just ugh.
I don't do very well with adult stuff to begin with.
I don't either. As a child.
So,
Jason said,
I don't know.
Start without
him? Yeah, we're going to start without him. Jason, who? Yeah. He just pushed the button and left the building or left the room. What kind of music you like there, Scott?
Well, I'm not going to say that.
You're not?
Immediately get made fun of.
No, why? What?
I like all kinds of everything.
You like the rap? You like the rap? Just like the rap.
I like everything, but
you like some of it?
I like extremely sad and depressing music.
Oh,
wow.
No, really?
Really?
I was listening to that on the way here.
What were you listening to?
Brian Adams?
Yeah, well, I was listening. My new thing is this Christina Aguilera song.
That doesn't sound sad and depressing.
No, it is. It's called Say Something. And I don't want you guys to play in here because the two of you will start off very ugly in here. It'll be very sad. I don't want any of that shit. But it's the saddest song you've ever fucking heard. Go home, listen to Say Something by Christina Aguilera in a Great Big World, and you will curl up into a ball in the fetal position.
Christina can sing the shit out of songs. She's great.
So sad, that song.
Do you think
she was more soulful when she was heavier?
I loved her heavy, and I loved her thin.
I think you're right on that.
But Chick likes heavier girls.
I do. I like women of size.
You really?
I like the round girls.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I have not dated a lot of big, beautiful women. But
you've slept with a lot of big, beautiful women.
Well, I like to make...
We're not doing that?
Make
okay.
love.
Oh,
make
God.
Love. Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
They're not one-night stands. What is it Drew Hastings says, you know? I fall in love every night out on the road.
Sure.
Sometimes my love lasts till they walk all the way down the hall and get on the elevator.
Yeah.
And go far, far away from me. Yep.
I didn't have that.
Does that make you poop?
This?
Yeah.
That does make her poop,
It does.
Are you
not.
Regular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going to ask you a lot of things today. I'd say it's probably going to offend.
Never.
Okay.
I don't think so.
You know,
wish I was a baby bear.
This is a sad song.
Oh, this is
sleeping
a sad
in the
song.
Brown.
Who is it?
This is Bob Schneider.
Oh.
Winter grass in April while the sun was going down.
On a very special Chick McGee.
Wish my shoes were empty.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee and we're off the air. Thanks for downloading the podcast.
With you there beside me.
It's microphone stand.
With your dreams inside your head. I wish the world would do.
You are regular though.
What I want to.
I'm gonna wish like this.
The wind 100%. Would blow
me. Well, I tell you, I'm obsessed with pooping.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bob from his new CD called Burden of Proof. Now we go back to Scott and Jess talking about. What are you drinking there?
And Pop-Tarts. You have a Pop-Tart shirt and you brought Pop-Tarts.
It was just a theme. It wasn't planned.
Oh,
that'd
okay.
be really queer. But
Chick,
do you want one of these peanut butter Pop-Tarts?
I think you would really be on board with a peanut butter Pop-Tart.
Well, here's the thing
you guys can take them home.
Popcorn, peanut butter.
Here's the thing.
All foods that start with P. Mm-hmm. Those are his favorite.
Look what I got for Christmas.
The giant Reese cup that you cut into a pie.
And they come in these.
Jeez.
They taste different, I bet.
And that's, they they're very peanut buttery, but they're the cups are like 4 inches around. And there's two of them, and you'll notice one's missing.
Did you eat a whole one?
I ate a whole one over the past 2 weeks.
Oh, really, Christy? Is that what you did?
Yeah, you put half of it on the desk.
No, I can't eat. You know, she does, it takes her 4 days to eat a Kit Kat.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or however many sectors there are.
No.
So if have you gone today?
Mm-hmm. Before I go in the shower.
See, I drink.
I always have to shower after.
Oh, a transaction, of course.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've only started doing that in the last couple of years.
I'm about to blow your minds. Okay. I have not used a piece of toilet paper on my rear end in over a decade.
Really?
I admire that.
I have
always showered, right?
Sheryl Crow.
No, I don't clean it out with a shower.
Oh,
no.
I don't poop and walk in the shower.
Do you have a bidet?
Shower. No, I use special ordered wipes for my rear end.
Are they the gentleman wipes?
No, they're made by a Kleenex company, the company, and they stopped making them, so I had to start special ordering them.
Oh my!
Was it here? Did they send a gentleman wipes here? Like they have a gentleman.
We have a Charmin, whatever they're called, in there. Wipeables or
those are
easy bottoms or something.
You can't just put anything in there.
No,
it's got to be very delicate. Very delicate.
I love the. I didn't think I would, but I love the wet wipes.
You have to.
I'm just.
How can you do anything different?
I don't
than
know
wet wipes?
Why I have make this connection in my head, but I don't think the wet wipes are as easily flushable.
Don't listen to them. Just flush them.
As the towel.
Just fucking flush them. Just
as
seriously.
The paper. Why do I think that?
I don't know.
Doesn't that sound like it wouldn't be?
They tell you that they're not.
It says you're not supposed to.
Is that
yeah.
the toilet paper, the conventional toilet paper lobby putting that propaganda out there?
I don't
know. Can't.
But we've done stories on this show where you're not supposed to, they say that you're not supposed to flush it because they back up the whole system.
Right.
But, you know. But I am. I was the only other question about poop, and I let it go. Is
okay.
After 30 years on the show, do you go at night now?
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm glad you brought this up finally. No,
his changes. His time changes.
My ideal is the PSP, the post show poop. That is ideal. But every now and then, I'm going to say once or twice a year. My cycle gets all screwy for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
And it's like 7:30 in the morning, quarter to late. No, it's no good.
One of the funniest moments.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
One of the funniest moments ever when I was on the show was it was quiet and here was like at the fourth hour. Chick opens the door and screams as Tom is opening the show, "Don't go in there!"
Yeah, it was. They've got the good spray though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only makes it smell better, but it actually absorbs the odor.
It's the potty thing, the potty spray.
The poo. What is it? It's like
poopery.
Poopery.
Mm. Oh yeah, right. I heard that. Yes. I heard about that. It's a real product. Yeah
you spray it in the bowl before you go.
God, right.
Microphone smells awful. Mm. Who was here? Todd.
Todd Glass.
Oof, God, that stinks.
Yeah.
But I drink kombucha. It's very similar. Yeah. It keeps everything moving.
Yeah, I buy that at the farmers. Do you go to the farmers market downtown?
Do you get
I go to the Whole Foods near me. They sell it at the farmers market?
Yeah, it's fresh ginger kombucha.
That's the kind I drink.
Have you ever had kombucha?
I haven't had kombucha. Where are you on colonics?
I don't do them.
No,
I'm
thinking about doing them.
They did one when I worked on Jackass. We went and shot with Johnny Knoxville, and it would look. Like
I saw that episode.
Painful thing I'd ever seen.
I got my dad that for Christmas.
That's awesome.
That says Merry Christmas.
Well, my dad just went. He just changed his diet and got rid of dairy and all wheat products. And I was just like, and he is a different person.
I'm
so jealous.
Did he do it?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
He hasn't done it yet. He hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done the colonic, but he's gotten the wheat and dairy. I bet he's lost 40 pounds.
Sure.
I'm off dairy. I'm off dairy. No more dairy.
See, I haven't done dairy for almost 2 years, and I just reintroduced it into my diet with raw kefir. Raw goat milk kefir. And
what is that?
It's fermented goat's milk.
It's supposed to help with your digestion, right?
Yeah, it is. It's
it
good
working?
Bacteria. It's changed my life. My face is clearing up. Everything's
good. Hold on. So were you gassy before?
No.
So okay, so when I see when I hear digestion, I think okay, is someone gonna, something going to help you with
I think,
gas?
No, gas is strictly, in my opinion, gas is in the order in which you eat your food and what foods you pair together, mm-hmm. because it's a part of the digesting. If you're going to have red meat, then stick with red meat, but start with greens. And you, if you're going to have vegetables, you eat all your vegetables first. Eat all your greens first because that's the quickest thing that's going to digest. If it gets backed up behind,
I'm exhausted. I couldn't even
now,
think like that.
Okay, yeah.
Does
That's
it work?
How I do it.
It works.
Yeah.
But Scott, you seem like you would be that would you would be on board with all this.
I would.
If you like the kombucha or whatever.
I'm on board with quick fixes. I but the thinking.
Do you stick with it once you fix it?
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, well, that's good. Working out, eating right, mm-hmm. but I eat a lot of shit. But right. I work out and eat right, so I can eat a lot of shit.
Exactly
is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you work out? The Spanish place?
I was at the Lifetime.
La Fitness?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Meridian.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What do you do? Machines? Free weights?
I was listening to you guys talking about that. There's nothing wrong with you doing the machines.
I don't think so.
There's nothing wrong if you're doing it, and I know you guys probably disagree.
I really have to concentrate.
We really
though.
Disagree.
Because I've done, I did a lot of machines. I go back and forth, free weight machines. Mm-hmm. It's boring, but it's.
I need to go more often. Mm-hmm. I was going at least every other day, and now it's about every third day.
Everything I work. If I was as dedicated to everything else in my life as I am working out, mm-hmm. I would be the best person. I would do anything I want in the world.
Yeah, I'm that way with my diet. I can't. Yeah. I don't like to work out, but I can stick to my diet.
I work out. My brain will not let me not work out.
That's good.
I want to cut out bread, wheat. But wheat's like everything, right?
I love a good bagel. Oof.
Nah, you could do it. It's so much easier than
Scott
you think.
Scott likes bagels.
I adore bagels.
It's a Jewish thing.
I know. You have really pretty skin.
You know what? I appreciate that. I don't, though. But there's
it just looks like it?
It looks very
there's
nice.
There's a woman in my life.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And she started me on this. She sent me a box of Kiehl's products.
Yeah.
And
it's a brand
and wash and post wash and stuff to put on your face afterwards. And
okay.
It's been working delightfully.
Yes.
I don't do anything with my delightful wrinkle-free skin.
I mean, so you have a lot of things that you are naturally have. Your skin looks fine. You never smell, apparently.
No,
never.
I've never smelled bad.
After
in my
you
life.
Work
after
out,
he works out, there
your
is
balls
not
don't
an odor.
Stink. I can't
Mm-mm.
believe
no.
it.
And
I'd stick my nose right in there.
Actually, here's the thing. I got curious about this fresh balls thing. It's freshbody.com.
When he said fresh balls, I was like, you don't need fresh balls.
No, and it's kind of true, but I like the smell of it so much that I went ahead and started using it, and I love it.
Let me see.
I smell even better, if that's possible.
If I'm saying this isn't shtick, I'm not trying to be funny. Okay. If you go work out and you run hard,
right.
And you sweat.
Sweat.
Mm-hmm. And let's say you haven't showered before and you transacted right before the gym, your butt wouldn't stink? Impossible!
I don't think so. I don't know what it is.
You threw the transaction curve in there.
Yeah, you
now
threw
I'm
that.
Out.
Yeah,
now
maybe,
I'm
there,
out.
Maybe there is
There's
kind
no,
of a duty.
No nose action. No nose action.
You're going to shove your face in there. No, certainly not. But
nope.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
That's
I don't know. I've got olive skin and I go to the tanning booth maybe.
I'll tan. I'll fucking tan.
Don't.
I will.
I go, but if I go more than once every 15, 18 days, I get so dark it's embarrassing.
I saw, but in this
it's
room.
Crazy.
In this room, you can't go that off because someone's going to say, just like I do when I see you, you're looking fucking so chick's so dark and damn, yeah.
It's I don't know what race I am, but it's not Caucasian.
I mean, let's be honest. Everyone looks better with a fucking tan.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Everybody does
you feel
healthier.
Better.
You feel better with
you look 10
it. It's like
pounds
when you wash,
thinner,
you wash
you
your
good.
Car, you, the car seems like it runs mm-hmm. better. Same mm-hmm. thing.
And you'll get more vagina.
You're
if you'll
darn
tan.
Right. You're damn right you will. Maybe Jess won't get more, but
I like a tan guy. I'm gonna say yeah.
You like
sure.
a tan,
yeah. I'll toss it that way if it's tan.
I'll toss this
that
on a
nose
tan
will
guy
go right up that ass.
Damn yes. right. So you've got a and you've got a touch of. I'm gonna say a touch. I think it's more than a touch, but we're gonna start there mm-hmm. of OCD.
Yeah,
you like a clean area workspace.
I see, for example, today when I was at Target picking that stuff up.
Man, I love the popcorn.
I saw a guy go in there and grab the basket with mm-hmm. his hand. And the first, in my brain, the first thing I said is, it made me anxious. I could never grab that handle mm-hmm. with
really?
That basket.
All right. So there's a physical change that happens when you get nervous. You
get nervous. Before I put these headphones on, and I listen to the show every day, but who was sitting here? Are they sick? I can deal with a lot of sickness. I don't. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I wash my hands like a lunatic, but once people start barfing, I'm out.
Game over.
Can't do it. My dad's like that. I'm like that. I wash my hands constantly.
You have anything like if I'm in a tall building with an elevator or a short building? If I'm in an elevator, mm-hmm. whatever floor I'm going to, that's the corresponding number of times I push the button.
Really? Is that
I'm
real?
Going to the fourth floor, I hit it four times.
Really?
If I'm going to the sixth floor, I hit it six times.
On the fucking high rise.
mm-hmm. I'm there most of the afternoon.
Oh, God.
I don't.
Why is that? For fun or is that real?
I don't know.
He has a thing with numbers, though. It's not an
I have
OCD
numbers.
Thing,
I like add
he
up numbers.
He adds license plates all the time.
Like when I'm driving along and there's somebody, I'll add the license plate numbers mm-hmm. up till I get one number.
Yeah, but that might be like borderline genius shit.
I don't think about that, but
I think it's something to occupy his mind. He has a creative mind and it tends to wander. And so numbers are very, concrete.
Numbers are always, seven is always seven. And no matter how much I think about it, I can't change it. I think that's why I like numbers. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I love this podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that till right this second.
Did you eat that peanut butter yet?
No,
You don't want to eat it.
He took it.
I got it over here.
I just want somebody to taste it.
Are these like no one's eating these?
So my thing is, my shtick is I get on a huge peanut
butter
kick.
It's like rose gold wrap, too. Yeah, I like that.
It's
very
great.
Bling.
I like it.
I'm on a huge Pop-Tart kick. This woman friend of mine.
Lady friend
sent me a personalized Pop-Tart container.
Oh, that's neat.
You go to Kellogg's, you go online, you can upload a picture, your face fucking comes back on it, and it's the greatest thing you ever see. And it was a special edition sugar cookie, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you, it's the greatest, sugar cookie is the greatest Pop-Tart you'll ever eat.
Hmm.
Peanut butter the second. It's a very, very peanut-y.
Oh my God.
Do you love it?
These are so fucking good.
Does it
I can't
have,
tell you. I'm so
does
glad
it have
I'm on the
frosting?
Podcast. No.
No frosting.
And it would be too much.
I prefer no frosting.
It would be too much.
And you won't need it. Thank mm-hmm. you. You won't need it.
I'm glad I'm eating these on the podcast so I can say these are unbelievably fucking good.
And maybe Pop-Tarts. Why wouldn't they sponsor this?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they sponsor the podcast?
I like s'more Pop-Tarts.
I almost got those, and I thought, you know what? They're not going to. She may not want to because she's kind of cleansing.
It's okay.
Cleansing right
I'll
now.
Take a bite. Ooh, it is. It? It's lightly sugared. Mm-hmm. No, it's just.
And
you
it's
know.
Soft and moist.
Mm-hmm. It's before noon. Yeah. I usually don't eat solid food before noon.
I'm with you. I don't usually eat till about 12:30.
What's happening?
I wake up. I work out before the show starts, and then I don't eat till about 12:30 or 1.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I like it.
So is your favorite thing doing TV or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I spent 15 years in Los Angeles doing.
How old are you?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. That won't do anything, right?
No, you're fine.
Don't turn it upside down so the water runs out. There you go. The other way. Face down there. Face
no,
down.
And he's running in there.
It's running in there.
Oh, okay.
shit, that would suck, right? Son of a. I'm 38.
Really?
You are not 38 years old. Fuck you. Yeah, you are not.
I am.
You look 27.
And I act it. Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
You could say I look older.
No, you don't look older at all. I'm kind of shocked.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You just said 15 years, and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was your first job in television?
I was working at a show called Real TV. It was a Paramount television show. People sent in kind of homemade.
Mm-hmm.
Tapes of car crashes caught on tape, explosions, lots mm-hmm. of tapes of people being morons.
I remember this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Real TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it's working.
Yeah. And I started off as a production assistant, which...
A PA.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I went to a Ball State University, and I would get this magazine, The Hollywood...
Ball State?
Yeah, Ball State.
For 1 year, and I would get this magazine called The Hollywood Reporter
mm-hmm.
in my dorm room, and I would call every TV show in Los Angeles.
Which dorm do you live in?
God, we used to call it Billy Hall, but that was the, I don't remember.
Was it the tall one?
God, I don't remember.
No. So I mean, was there a lot of floors or was there one
no,
floor?
No, three floors.
Oh, okay.
Three floors.
I'm with
and
you.
And girls, I think, were also on the second
floor. Was it co-ed every other room or
every other floor?
Floor.
mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I called every show and asked them if they needed production assistance. And this one guy, after a billion calls, called me back. And he gave me a job when I got out there.
Wow.
And then...
So did you? Is it the classic, you just loaded your car and drove to L.A.?
Mm-hmm. It, literally. I put my Ford Probe. I put everything in a car. And, yeah.
I loved Probes. Yeah, all the cheerleaders had Probes when I was in high school. And I wanted one.
Yeah. A Ford Probe?
Yeah.
You guys like the Probe?
Black. I'd, sleek.
All the pretty cheerleaders had those cars, and I wanted one.
What did you have?
I had a Jeep.
That's a good car.
No.
A Jeep Cherokee, a two-door Jeep Cherokee.
Well, but then you had the...
But then I had a Jetta.
The badass Jetta, the
I
Volkswagen.
Had a little Volkswagen. Oh, yeah, I wanted one of those, too.
Did you not like the cheerleaders?
I wanted to be the cheerleaders.
Oh. She was the cheerleader in...
like middle school. Middle it wasn't school. A big deal, yeah. But then I was... And then I decided that I wasn't pretty enough, so then I was going to act like I didn't care very much, and then that's kind of how it goes.
Then did you start hating the cheerleaders?
No, I didn't hate them. No, I didn't hate them. I just...
Fist fights?
Yeah, lots of fist fights. Jump the fence, get on the track, and just fucking pummel them right there.
I'm going to be like Tom right now. I don't want to pry it. Ask, but how old are you?
I'm 32.
Oh, shit. You're young, too.
She's a baby.
Yeah. I don't look 30. I'm going to start telling people I'm 42, and they'll be like, oh, you look great, and then I'll feel better.
You don't look 30.
No, yes, I do. I feel like I do.
See, she doesn't think she, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
Okay. How so old, that's how, what, okay, how old do I look? Go ahead.
Well, he does this every time.
But I can't do it because I'm not good. I'm terrible at guessing.
You
this.
Look.
37, 38.
You no. look 45.
Honestly,
I think you could tell somebody. You could tell somebody.
I look like I'm in my 40s.
Yes, okay. You absolutely could. He's 56.
I'm 56 years old.
You're almost 60 years old. That's
okay, okay, Scott.
That's how my brain thinks.
That was an unfortunate leap that you just made. I don't think there's any.
That's fantastic.
Any need for that?
I'm so envious when men get older because they usually get better.
Oh, Scott, you have.
If you saw a picture of him,
I'm gonna get better than this.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait till tomorrow because I'm just gonna be better looking
every day. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. No, it's I could have robbed a bank when I was 22, 24, yeah. somewhere mm-hmm. in, and gone back to that same bank today and said and showed him a picture. This is me robbing your bank, and they would go, No,
it's not. It's you. Not. It's not awful.
That's
it's
not you.
Awful.
I was.
Was there a year, though, that you changed? Like,
no, because if you look at him, because I thought he was cute 10 years ago, and then I look at him then, and I'm like, wow.
What
like,
the
how
fuck
could
happened
somebody
there?
Be, like, just keep getting better looking?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you're fucking a doctor.
I don't want to brag, but I will accept. Wow. I've been working on, they call it accepting compliments.
It's nice. It's nice to be in a room with somebody who truly respects you and likes you. I think I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with him and I sitting here all day, and he said 30 years. I sit here all day, and I get shit on for
right.
Yeah.
No. I've told Tom this, and I've told her this. I think the current version of the show in the morning when you're here is definitely better than any other.
Thank you. That's very,
any other combination that
when
we've
did you
more,
start
we've
coming
on
Bob and Tom
2 years ago?
Two
and
years.
It's
ago.
Been
because you have evolved in a big
you.
Way.
Well, I'm telling you. There's a couple things. I don't know if this is a topic for...
Because you were very, very quiet. And I think that's part of the reason I think I've been liking you for a long time, but it's even more so...
A long time.
Because my big thing with people is I don't like people who are too familiar right away.
And you know what? But he's 100% right. And I said to my father a couple months ago, I said, I was doing, when I first started, the one thing that I hate... hearing other people do it and acting like you're one of them right away, mm-hmm. and that is death.
Yeah, I mean it's such a fine line between being confident and doing a good job
you're
and being
absolutely right.
And too familiar asshole, and it's tough to do.
He's very right, and I remember, you guys don't understand, though, how hard it is to come into this room. it is, with four people.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Who
yeah.
really know each other, and you used to be the funny guy, and now you're not funny at all.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and I'll be the first person to say, when someone asks me, I'm not funny on the show, I hope to lend some sort of opening to conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I'm sure people fucking hate when I'm on. You know?
No.
I can name people I hate way more.
it's very difficult. And it's, and but It's the only thing I've ever done in my life, which is unconditional. I expect to get nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would never ask anybody for anything from it. And I truly enjoy doing it. It makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah. That's great to hear. Mm-hmm. I mean...
And I think about that when you guys all talk, because I think yourself, sometimes I think you guys got to stop and think, this play, walking in here at 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and being able to do this job and laugh and be yourself and be yourself and then get to go the fuck home with no responsibility. After I've been in Los Angeles for 15 years, killing myself to try to get, it's literally, you guys have the I mean, it's the shit.
Yeah, it is. It, even in the...
But it's just, it's how a lot of people get 8 hours a day to do their job and kind of, you know, take a break and go to lunch and do this. This is a lot in 4 hours. You have to maintain funny for 4 hours.
When I leave here, my head is spinning.
Mm-hmm. You know? You're exhausted.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I've said this before on the podcast, I know, but most of the time people are very nice and they'll come up to me in like the CVS and they'll go, hey, oh, you guys were taught your site. I go, yeah, hi, how are you? You were talking about such and such this morning, and you were very funny when you said such as, and then you said something else about, and I hope it doesn't come off as me being an asshole, but I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
I just don't remember. I remember guests or something they'll say, and I especially enjoy them, but as far as shit that comes out of my mouth, I honestly drive myself crazy enough trying to, and not trying to force yourself, but...
Yeah, but it's... I listen to sometimes the way you react when someone shits on you or something like that. But I envy the way you respond sometimes. And I've taken some of those responses outside of here on my own because you respond to people that fuck with you in a very... you know, the way like I always say to myself, I would like to respond to when someone does that the same way. You know, like I forgot what it was. I can't even, it's a bad example. It happened today or yesterday and someone said something to you and I forgot what your response was. I thought that was a really good way to get back at him.
Most of the time, not as often as it used to be, but most of the time I'm dying slowly inside when they hurt me, but...
but I mean, did you always listen to the show?
Yes, growing up.
Growing up. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the other day when we were doing the Welcome Sports Fans, that made me happy.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That I kept that video on my phone because that's happiness to me. I remember the good times listening to that, and that was fun.
And you know, people ask me about that. Why don't you guys do that anymore? And my response is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did, when,
I'd like to, but I don't know.
Yeah, I listened. I started listening. I took the, I had those headphones that I took from my dad and listened on the bus because the bus driver was like, we can't listen to Bob and Tom anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when I started listening. And then I had a crush on him when I was in college.
Ooh, respect.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm a pimp.
He was
he looked 12 compared to me at that time.
Yeah, I looked like shit, but...
He was the wallpaper on my computer in my dorm room.
So you manifested that.
I was dressed up in the fireman's outfit or something. Isn't
I
that
think
the
so. Yeah, I think
next
so.
Next thing you know, you were drilling it.
I don't know about that, but Jason, how are you?
What have I missed?
You look so professional.
Wore out.
Yeah, wore out. Probably.
Jesus.
Very banana. Very Banana Republic cover right now.
Yeah. When I I rarely wear a sweater.
I know.
When I do. I don't wear it really that well.
It looks nice.
Like if you wore a sweater, boom, totally different guy, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I'm
usually casual like you.
That was a problem with my ex-girlfriend was that I chose to wear what I like to wear, and she...
And she wasn't going to have
she
that.
She wasn't having that.
In the Jewish community, we don't dress like that.
And that was a problem. I couldn't... I love her. A great girl. Respect
right.
her. That was a big problem for us.
Really?
Yeah. Chick saw. I ran into him at Urban fucking Outfitters, and I had shorts on, and he said, "You know what? Grow up."
Yeah, he has. Did you have sandals on too?
No, but I
had high tops on. I think. Really?
I had high tops. I have a big Air Jordan fetish
for
shoes. I buy them. I love them. Mm-hmm. They don't make you seem like an adult, but
I don't care. Do you think it's our age? It's our generation.
Number one, the shoe looks good. Number two, I love that brand. I love the Nike brand.
Mm-hmm.
I it's the only thing I wear. I feel like I'm violating or going or doing something wrong if I'm not wearing Nikes. I do. I feel that's, you know. But I'm most comfortable in shorts and a t-shirt, mm-hmm. literally.
So how Jewish are you,
Well,
Scott?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Do you go to temple and the whole deal?
I'm only Jewish by association. I was never bar mitzvah.
Because
you are, so your mother is not Jewish.
No, she's Jewish.
Your
I was
mother's
just,
Jewish.
We were talking about this the other day. I was just kicked out of Hebrew school, and I was therefore I was didn't have my bar mitzvah, and I was kicked out of Sunday school.
They have Sunday school at Hebrew school?
Well, Sunday school, kind of like, what do your people have?
We're Catholic.
Catholic.
I'm Catholic. Yeah.
Like, I'm Methodist.
What's on Wednesday?
Softball.
Wednesday's Mass. We have Mass every day.
But isn't there like school on Wednesday nights?
What about
or?
You? Aren't you like a Mormon or something?
Yeah, a Mormon.
No, we have, no, we just have Mass every day.
How many kids you got, Jason?
I got two girls.
Yeah.
So what do you? Does that make you a two or three on a Jewish?
No, I'm about a four.
Oh, it's a four. Okay.
So I was going to say no because you and I have talked about this and how almost inherently
intelligent Jewish people seem to be.
Jewish people are because of
and I think
Hebrew
it's
school
because
and their
of,
bar
it's
mitzvahs
the discipline.
And
it's not necessary genetics.
Learning an entire language when you're like 12, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well. I wouldn't go that far. But, you know.
And as I said the other morning, the comedy that comes out of the Jewish people is fucking believable.
But if you think about that, you could say that. You could say about the African-American community. You could say.
Yeah, and then the Canadians.
Asians. Tibetans. No.
No.
No. No. Okay, so it's just those two, Jews and blacks. Is that what we're saying?
I think so. Yeah, Jews and blacks are the funniest people on the planet.
So in 30 seconds, what have I missed?
Let's see.
Pop-Tarts?
He's obsessive compulsive and likes clean things.
I
and gets
that.
Upset when he goes to Target.
Jessica's pooping.
We talked about poop.
We talked about regularity.
Cycle.
An ideal time for me is when I have post-show transactions. I don't have to worry about it. He brought me popcorn from Target.
Oh, from Target. Oh, it is.
The
yeah.
first guys, gift
some,
I've ever.
Pop-Tarts brought you Pop-Tarts.
And
oh my
peanut
God,
butter, peanut butter Pop-Tart.
He likes, he's a Pop-Tart.
I don't mind Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I don't mind.
Have you had the peanut butter Pop-Tarts?
No, I don't do peanut butter.
I knew one of you guys wouldn't do peanut butter.
See, peanut butter is not good in anything else. Peanut butter is just good as peanut butter.
I was going to say, I gave you peanut butter for Christmas.
Yeah, it's peanut butter.
Did you love it?
I haven't opened it yet.
Oh.
If you'd
we have it. We have an open peanut butter already.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
You know,
I saw it.
Peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, that's peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
So peanut butter and chocolate?
Like peanut butter cookie?
Eh.
Oh, I love it.
No.
Everything peanut butter.
No.
Peanut butter fudge?
No.
No.
Because usually there's actual fudge next to it, and I'm going with the real fudge.
Yeah. I couldn't believe you haven't drank.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Really? Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
No, there's some reason you haven't drank.
I know that I cannot explain, and I don't judge those who do.
No,
You're not curious.
But see, there's some. I don't have a tattoo because the one thing my father always asked me was the only thing I'm going to ask you is not to get a fucking tattoo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I have followed that rule my whole life.
Have you pierced things?
I had 2-3 earrings in my life. Those are gone.
That's it.
That's it.
They never pierce your body.
Nah.
No.
No, but
I pierced everything.
Oh, down there?
No, above the waist.
That's
I pierced
not
everything.
Everything.
I pierced everything from my belly button above. How about that? There you go. Yeah, so I did that.
Is that all gone?
Yeah, it's all gone because I was too scared to get a tattoo.
I don't have a.
I have an issue with commitment.
I have.
Getting lying.
I think left is right. So I pierced my left ear, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
I feel like you carry that out for a while, right?
I had it on. I had it in for a while.
Oh my God! You should bring that back.
Dude, we should both bring that back. Just like roll in here one day, fucking Shaq Diesel in our ear.
Welcome to the Bob and Tom Show. I can't help but notice Chick has something from his hanging from his ear.
Did he ever have an earring? Did Tom?
I don't think so. Just incredibly long hair.
His hair was long, right?
I mean, down to his elbows.
Really?
I'm saying, yeah. There's a picture on one of the albums where we. All had our high school pictures on it.
So what you don't know about me, Scott, is I'm annoyingly practical.
Yes.
And spending $50 at a bar for nothing.
Right.
Even that goes against.
Right.
What about me? You haven't had a night where you've gotten so drunk.
that sounds awful to me. To wake up the next day and
washes over you.
My best times.
I'm not running away
drunk in my life.
I'm not running away from anything.
I used to drink like Ted Kennedy. I love drinking. Not anymore though.
Hate it.
Here's where I'm right now. I didn't have a drink yesterday, and I'm pretty excited about it right now.
Yeah. Are you serious?
My childhood was pretty normal, easygoing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Good parents, but one of the most angry I ever got was late in high school. My mom sat me down and said, listen, Listen, sweetie, if you're so drunk you can't drive home, you just call me.
And you were insulted.
I was like, I haven't even licked a beer can.
You
I
sound mean,
why, glad you, I'm glad you said that beer can. Yeah.
You sound defensive.
I hadn't licked any of that either.
You sound defensive.
Yeah. I know I was.
Absolutely. Was she even more suspicious after you acted that way?
No, I think she just, you know, kids would be kids and I have a kid. And
it's one of those things where she probably was like, I have to have this conversation. I have to say it because if something happens and I don't,
right.
I'll feel
it was
bad.
Probably on her.
Yes. Have you ever been high?
No.
No. Yes. Are we talking who?
Who?
Me?
Who? Anyone. No, well, him.
No,
but
no,
have you ever had ingested a pain pill?
Hated it.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
He's Mr. Vicodin.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm not on trial here.
Previous.
Straight up. I'm not kidding you. I had a knee surgery and I had to take some Vicodin.
Yeah.
And I was a completely different person.
Yes.
I had no control over
my thoughts.
That's
why we take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It makes you happy.
That false sense.
I was probably my worst day of my life.
I'm concerned why you're on the podcast.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing with Vicodin, not to get too technical, but it shut off your brains. It shut off my brain stem.
Oh.
Which.
Oh, stop.
You know
it.
What?
Your brain stem takes care of your involuntary breathing. And guess when you need that?
We finally met that guy.
When you're sleeping?
When you're sleeping. And guess who couldn't go to sleep?
Oh.
Because you wouldn't breathe?
I had a knee surgery. I couldn't sleep for 2 days.
Because you couldn't?
Because I would exhale and fall asleep.
And wake up like that.
Yeah, it was awful.
That's crazy.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I bet he made it all up, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what?
So I don't even think I could take alcohol very well.
I can't. Pain pills make me puke.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
Terrible.
Yeah,
I'm very sensitive. I'm very delicate.
You know what I hear right now? Womp, womp. Well, alcohol, I used to have a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with a lot of things. I used to smoke. I used to love smoking.
Cigarettes?
Fuck.
Me too.
We used to dream of a cigarette that got longer as you smoked it. That's how much we loved smoking. It was, it's just, but I was working out so much that I finally had to say, it doesn't make sense.
No, you get on the treadmill and you're like,
Yeah.
She every now and then, she'll...
When
like
the seasons
drunk one?
When the seasons change, I like to have a cigarette. Okay, that's it. That's all it is. When it gets warm out, I want to have a cigarette. When the leaves start to change, I want to have a cigarette.
It's that one that'll make me feel real guilty. I haven't.
Oh
done it
no,
in years.
I can do one all the time.
And I stop drinking
every hour. I can do one.
So then you're
still
smoking, right?
No, I don't.
Yeah, she does every now and then.
Every now, no, I still occasionally smoke. No,
just
yeah.
socially.
I spend some
not
time,
socially by myself on my back porch because I'm
so you're anti-socially.
Embarrassed and ashamed of.
Well, she'll call me on the phone and start talking, and then
so it's like masturbation.
She'll be very
I guess it is. I put a hat on and gloves, and then I take it, and then I spray my
paparazzi
hands, and then I
there?
Spray my hands with vinegar before and white vinegar
smell.
Around my mouth to get rid of the smell. I just hate it.
She'll be on the phone and she'll talk, and I'll hear this,
and so he'll go, "What the fuck are you doing?
Are you smoking?" And she'll go, "No, yes, I'm smoking." Yeah,
mm-hmm. I spent a little time away, so I stopped drinking after.
Away? Do you went to an in-house treatment?
No, I just got in trouble one night and I spent some time, you know, not long. I mean, it wasn't, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And that changed everything.
I've been real close to that a couple times myself, and I'm very thankful that that did not transpire for me.
Yeah, I had a Charlie Sheen night one night and... Yeah. But I'm glad it happened because I don't believe in shit happening for a reason, but that happened for a reason. I think somebody looked at me and said, okay, if you don't go to do this now, you're going to do something way worse. So I'm going to teach you your lesson.
Right.
And motherfucker, it taught me my lesson.
Yeah.
Was this when you were in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
on my
birthday.
Oh, what birthday?
What is this? 3 years ago, so 35th. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah. Any details you want to share?
Oh, I mean, I was my birthday, and I just drank like fucking Ted Kennedy that night, and I just didn't stop, and then I hated my girlfriend at the time, and we started screaming, and then I decided to go straight up AC/DC on the room, and I was throwing shit everywhere, and then the cops came, and I was all
domestic, and you were intoxicated.
I didn't touch her. I didn't touch the girl, but I was
raising
I was
hell
out of control.
Mm-hmm. How does that get you in jail for 4 or 5 days?
Well,
resisting arrest, assaulting an officer.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But here's how it gets you in jail. In Los Angeles, It was on a Thursday, and you, and for what I was in for, you had to see a judge, and the judge doesn't go in on Friday or the following Monday, so I was there till Tuesday. Yeah, and I finally decided I'm going to have to call my dad, and you know, there's nothing he could do. He's like, "Do you want me to get you a lawyer?" I said, "No, I'm going to stick this out."
Did you make any friends?
You know, it wasn't, I was like in the Riviera of jails, you know, it was like West Hollywood, but it still was a terrible experience.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But I did meet a guy in there, and he was from like somewhere in South America, and he was going down to the prison after he left there because he really fucked up me. He asked me a favor. He says, and his broken, he's like, "When you leave, can you take my address and go tell the guy I'm living with that I'm not going to be back for a while?" And I did that. It was like a fucking movie.
That's crazy.
I went and I, went to East LA and I knocked on this guy's door and
Orange is the New Black kind of thing. It could have turned into a series or a movie. Yeah.
But I felt so loyal to this guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're still dating.
So he's a wonderful man. It's a long distance relationship, but I'm fine with it. Yeah.
So, and I'm not suggesting you would have done this, but you were obviously intoxicated.
Sure, yeah.
Were you kind of on top of the world as far as career-wise with what you were doing at the time that you felt invincible?
I never did. I mean, being in Los Angeles was, I never ever felt, I mean, it was, you know.
And you grew up here.
Grew up here. Mm-hmm. I never, you know, I had good times out there. When I was working for Playboy TV, I was, you know, great, but I was going on millions of auditions, mm-hmm. and there were 10,000 Scott Potasniks walking around the fucking town, mm-hmm. and, you know, and it just, I couldn't get a break.
Where'd you go to high school?
Carmel.
Oh.
Where'd you go to middle school?
Carmel Junior High.
Carmel Junior High.
Greyhounds.
Mohawk?
Greyhounds.
Yeah. Mohawk Trail? Or
no, it was play? Literally Carmel. Oh, College Wood.
College Wood.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Carmel.
46033. That's where your kids went, right?
Mohawk Trails and Carmel...
Elementary?
No, Carmel Clay.
Carmel Clay.
Clay.
Well, Clay.
Clay Elementary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah. Los Angeles is so hard, man.
I can't imagine. But obviously, you loved it.
I'm not done. You know, I mean, I'm trying to pitch stuff as we speak. Last night, I sent an email to a guy at Comedy Central to pitch a project. It's just, if you give up, you know, the terrorists have won.
So you're out there. We left you. You had literally gotten in your car and drove to Los Angeles, and you were going to be on Real TV.
Yeah. No, I was going to be a production assistant.
A production assistant
and
on Real TV.
I banged on their doors. They were looking for a guy, not in the office, they were looking for a guy to be a host to cover extreme sports segments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I grabbed a girl from the office, and I said, "You got to let me shoot these, and let's show them to the executive producer." And I begged, and I pleaded, and they loved what I did, and I got 5 segments out of that on air. I got an agent from that. And then just things kind of slowly started happening. But my agent called me and says, "I got an audition at Playboy TV for you."
Right. And was this before or after Jackass?
This was at the same time.
Okay.
I'd gone from Real TV to Jackass. Jackass was the greatest show ever at first, and then you started hating it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then I got this gig at Playboy TV, and I auditioned for it as a host. Next thing I know, I was in Japan at the world's largest fetish party with nipple clamps on. And
kid from Indiana.
That was the next 7 crazy. Years of my life, traveling the world doing stories about sex.
And you said I don't know how to put this. The wildest place, I guess, is Brazil.
Yeah, I can say on the air. But I mean, they have the brothels there. The American guys go out there to go to these brothels.
Right.
And these brothels out there are not the kind of brothels you read about here, you picture. These
like
are
the Bunny Ranch. It's not like that.
Not like that. You mm-hmm. go into these brothels, they give you a robe, you pay about $10 American to get in.
No.
Yeah. $10-$15 American. It's probably the dollar at the time was 4 to 1.
Right.
So we were millionaires out there.
Right.
And you go into this big room after you put your robe on. Literally a robe. You love wearing a robe
at a
hotel.
Robe. Love
and
a nice robe.
You go, and it's kind of a room like a disco room. And it's dark, and there's a bar, and these girls are, their only job is to come up to you and to get you, do whatever you want in this big room to get you to the back.
Right.
So you can go into these rooms, and women, I don't know what I can say, I don't want to gross anybody out. Women,
no, we're
women
not going to gross anybody
pulling
out.
Dicks and, they're, you know, right. and making out with dudes.
Right.
Never make out with one of those chicks, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay. No mouth kissing.
Yeah, no mouth kissing, but guys do it. They go in these rooms and they're making out with these chicks, and they try to get you to the back, to the mm-hmm. cabanas. And one of my buddies went back to this,
uh-huh.
you know, and this friend,
uh-huh.
and
a lady.
Yeah, and they go back there, and you know, and he bangs her, and he's like, "Dude, I banged her, and she licked my ass."
ass. And she, you know, fucking put her nose up there and her tongue. And like, and so, and so then we're leaving. And he says, hey, I want to go say goodbye to my girl. Because I mean, you know, may come back and see
her. Right. Might come back. And she's.
She's mouth kissing some other guy. Lesson learned, gentlemen. Yeah, lesson learned.
So now the $10 or $15 you paid to get the row in the robe room, does that cover everything? Or
no,
is
that's
more
just
money?
Kind of like your
the hello money.
Hello, but the rest is going to cover you $40 to $60 to feel like a terrible person when. You know, but you can do. I was such a germaphobe that I just
rarely did
it. And it's like AIDS capital of the world. And it's like,
oh my God.
If anything breaks or something slips, I would have pulled, I probably would have hung myself.
I know a lot of guys, I'm surprised at how many guys I know that have been to prostitutes.
Oh, everybody.
But I just have never, I don't know.
In Los Angeles, they have these rub and tugs. We all know what a rub and tug is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on every corner. So those, I would suggest those to any guy that doesn't want to actually have sex with her. But everybody's, you know, so many. And every chick in Los Angeles is a hooker. I got to be honest. If you're listening, if you're listening and you work for, you know, I mean, there's a ton. Everyone in the adult industry, any major magazine that has a naked woman in it often.
Sure.
If you'd like to bang that girl.
You probably can.
If you've got enough money, you can make it happen.
You can make it happen. And enough money isn't even a ton of money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
500?
Five to a thousand. You know,
1,000?
1,000. You can, you know, like if you can bang the porn star of your choice for probably about $1,500. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you go to a girl's Twitter page or a Facebook and it says no privates on there, that means that they're not a hooker. But
I think a bunch of people just turned off this podcast.
No. This is frank and honest conversation.
Oh, and I'm sorry if I'm being. I don't want to be.
They're running to Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, I remember who my favorite one is.
I don't want to violate you because I know you guys keep it clean normally.
What? No.
We keep it clean.
Well, sometimes I go in there and then I say.
No privates.
So I mean, we went everywhere though. I mean, Brazil, and then we go to Tokyo, and I'll never forget. I hooked up with this girl in Tokyo. I don't know why. You guys didn't even ask us. I'm telling you this.
Hang on.
Did you ever hook up with anybody in Tokyo?
That's really funny. You should ask. Uh-huh. I remember that scene from As Good as It Gets when Jack Nicholson goes and takes a shower.
Yes.
And they wait for him, and he comes out, and the room is filled with steam.
Yeah.
So I hook up with this woman that's a playmate, a Japanese playmate from 1986. She was still hot. They never age out there. Terrible drivers, but they maintain their looks.
That's a proven fact.
We covered all those stereotypes. Good job. Right.
She wasn't a hooker. She was just a girl I've been working with out there.
What year is this?
This is probably... See, that's the problem with when he asked me a lot of these things on the show, because all these things happened so long ago. They're not current anymore. So it's probably 2004, 2005.
So she was 20 in 86.
Yeah. So she was nearing 40.
Okay.
Right.
That's where I'm trying. I was just trying to do some math.
And we walk upstairs, and she's in a full-on suit, and she has a thing in her hand, a briefcase, and we go in the room, and everyone's been drinking, but she's, you know, we have broken English, and I shut the door, and she's gone when I get in the room. And the next thing I know, she comes out of the bathroom like Jack Nicholson with all, she had gone in there, she'd taken a shower, all the steam's coming out, and she was ready for business.
Uh-huh.
And you were too, because she was extra clean.
Fantastic!
It was perfect.
If she had put gloves on, it's the only other thing that would make it better.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that I wasn't running. You know, I was. If I ever hooked up with anybody on the road, it was very calculated. It was very thought through. Because I just.
So you didn't like in college or before? Did random? Did you do that kind of stuff then?
I had sex one time in college, and it was an awful experience.
Yeah,
I remember.
Did you ever go to a bar called Dill Street?
No, I never. I wasn't old enough. I moved to New York City right after.
Oh, that's right, you only spent a year in London.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they had like penny pitchers at Dill Street.
They did.
I remember hearing about Dill Street. I worked
there in college.
Oh. Yeah. You went to Ball State?
I did.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did you finish?
Nope. 3 years.
it's like the unwritten contract when you go there. You're not, you can come, you're not going to finish.
It'll be fun.
You're 4 years up front, but.
Yeah, it was fine.
You won't finish your third. So what was Jackass like? I mean, did that Jackass, right it, after Playboy or it, at the same time?
When you work production, it was right before Playboy, and Spike Jonze, you know, you're familiar with Spike, you know, the director.
No, yeah, I know. Just I want to go see her.
Yeah, that's supposed to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. It, me and my two bosses were contacted by Spike and the people at MTV and say, hey, we want you guys to be this team on this new show. So next thing you know, we're meeting with Spike and Johnny Knoxville and these people, and it started off great. And
no idea Spike Jonze had anything to do with Jackass.
He helped.
Are you fucking serious?
Johnny started, I only know this because I listened to Maren's podcast. A great interview with Knoxville. Johnny said that they had this show that was basically Jackass at some...
They would do their own videos.
Kind of like a skate park.
It was a skateboard magazine.
Skateboard magazine, that's it.
It was a skateboard magazine, and all these guys kind of were a part of it. Right. Spike and a guy named Jeff Tremaine, who was also the director and the creator of our show, were buddies in college. They were roommates.
Okay.
And so they all had this skateboard magazine where they all would do a bunch of dumb shit, and they would videotape themselves, and those videos before kind of things were viral, it was viral.
And Johnny had a video of him getting shot.
He put on a bulletproof vest and they shot him, and that kind of started to make its rounds like he was this crazy, insane person.
Willing to try anything.
What he was, and I would say this to his face, is he was a good looking guy who had a great personality and just led the group. But he wasn't the guy who would do anything. If you've ever seen Steve-O,
He'll do anything. That guy
will do anything.
Anybody put a fish hook into their body and jump overboard in the ocean,
was he there to begin with?
He was there in spirit, but he was so loony, and he wasn't there.
Okay.
But he was in Florida and doing his own thing, but he was way gnarlier than any of these guys.
Because Bam and Ryan Dunn were there, right?
Yeah, Bam was in Pennsylvania.
Oh, so that...
So all these guys kind of came together, but they all knew each other.
Okay.
And Johnny, you know, he wasn't a pussy, but he wasn't the badass of the group. He was just, anyway.
No, but somehow he always talked these guys into doing this, and he never seemed like the asshole.
Because he was the guy in charge, and they all wanted to please him, like, you know.
You got to have a leader.
Yeah, you got to have a leader.
That's what Jason and I do with Chick every day.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone wanted to please you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So they took this show that Johnny had, and they took it.
And they pitched it.
They didn't know what to do with it, so they showed it to Spike, and Spike had the genius to go, because they were basically doing the Jackass show, but they just didn't know this is what they should be doing. They thought that they should polish it
overthink it.
And Spike goes, no, this is great.
Just do this.
Keep it the way it is.
So they made this bidding war between Comedy Central and MTV. MTV won.
Uh-huh.
And part of that was, you got to let us do it the way we want to do it. And they did the most scaled down, unpolished version, because these guys were big on, we're not going to sell out, this and that. And it was a great show starting out, but it became to a point, production hours, I don't want to assume anybody here hasn't worked in long TV production hours, but they're miserable.
Right.
You know, we would be in there from 7 till midnight every day, and these guys all came in, and they weren't ever in TV before.
Right.
And so they gave a fuck about the rules of TV and what you were doing and how hard everybody was working, and it became miserable.
A lot of substance. Johnny was getting laid all the time. Oh. It was just crazy.
I mean, it turned into a, you know, and you couldn't walk through the office without getting your balls hit, and it was a big thing.
And the Clippers.
and amazingly, you know, the very first thing before the first episode aired was MTV said, we need you guys to do promotion for the show. And all those guys said, fuck you. We're not doing any promotion the way you want. We want you guys to do a Jackass video countdown where you guys can pick any of the favorite songs and videos from any point in the world, any time you guys want. We're going to count down to the show.
Isn't that adorable? Back when people watch videos.
So they were picking those, you know, the most random, hardcore music videos they could find that nobody was listening to at the time, but none of the guys wanted to host the show. And so I said, you guys let me host the show. and I was not smart enough at that point to know when they said yes, I was going to get my ass kicked for 3 hours while hosting the show.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was fun, and I was on MTV for an hour, and I got my hosting reel out of that.
Right.
And so, you know, but it just... Those guys are great. They're doing great. They're all millionaires now.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't fun after about the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, everyone's always doing shtick. Everyone's always doing stuff, and it's just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like it would get.
And there was no payoff. It
tired
was,
after a while.
You're working for these guys that are becoming celebrities and making a ton of money, and that's great. But nobody ever walked in the office and said, "Hey, thanks for holding my balls while I bled."
And
for
I think Johnny
hours.
Can. I think Johnny might be a decent actor in there somewhere. I mean,
but you always, you kind of see him in certain things and you think to yourself, God.
Did you see Bad Grandpa? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't laugh. The only reason I didn't laugh because I'm my bar of what's extreme and shocking is so high now. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw it with a bunch of guys, so I laughed.
Probably laughed.
Okay,
yeah.
They did try to make a movie with the plot and the kid and the little Miss Sunshine thing.
And it made a ton of money. They doubled their millionaires right now.
Right.
It got an Oscar nomination for fucking makeup and hair and whatever.
Really?
Yeah, so if that thing gets an Oscar nomination, that box is... They can't wait to put Oscar-nominated Bad Grandpa.
Yeah.
So... But, you know, I don't ever... Look, that was... It was just... it was a good experience. It was great to be a part of a hit show, but enough was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then what did you do after?
I went to Playboy and then In Demand, I sold that show and then we were there for 2 years. And then I had enough kind of saved up from all these great things I was doing that I was going to go out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched an idea to Comedy Central. And tell me if this is boring, you guys.
No.
And I pitched an idea to Comedy Central. I had this idea. My first idea was, I had two ideas. And
Wait a minute. Is this copywritten somewhere so somebody not hearing this, they won't...
It doesn't even matter anymore because anybody can steal anything anymore. It doesn't even matter.
It really does seem that way, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So my first idea was the Amazing Race. They said, mm-hmm. I was going to pitch two ideas. First of all, was the drunk Amazing Race,
right?
Where they would drop you off in the middle of nowhere, drunk, and you had to do it. Well, there was too many liabilities. So then I thought, well, what's the next best thing? I thought, well, pot. I would do a politically incorrect meets a panel of stoners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they greenlit me over the phone.
Oh wow!
To do a presentation pilot for the network.
There you go.
And when they give you a presentation pilot at Comedy Central, they give you free reign of the Comedy Central stage. This is a stage where they own in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
where they give you a staff of people there for as long as you need, as many weeks, months as you need to create one live episode that you would present to an audience of your friends and network people for consideration at Comedy Central.
Okay.
And I put on, after many months of hard work and using personal, I put on one of the greatest presentation pilots of my life. And one of the greatest presentation pilots you will never see, because apparently the show was ahead of its time.
What?
It was a show called Token Trash, a little play on talking trash,
right.
And and it was great. And I, it was as good as I wanted it to be. But they passed on it, and that kind of sent me in a bit of a spiral,
right?
Because I put my life into this project.
It's funny, as you were saying that, I'm thinking, this is a perfect idea today.
Oh, yeah. And which is, ironically, you said that, before I came on here last night, I thought to myself, we're going to probably talk about this. And I sent an email to the senior VP of original programming last night over there, and I said, just what you just said.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, maybe we can revisit this. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if I hear back from
him. Huh.
But it's telling a TV show is one of the hardest things in Hollywood, and not in life, in Hollywood you can never do.
Right.
It's just, and it will, you only the strong-willed and the headstrong survive out there.
And what is it about the shows that they come up with, and I'm...
That aren't good.
Mostly about...
Two Broke Girls.
Network television. I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, if you want to watch a good situation comedy, I mean, HB Girls, Veep. I mean, those are good shows.
They're all good shows. But
Two Broke Girls and Mike and Molly. I don't like Mike. I love the guy who writes it, but I can't watch Mike and Molly.
Chick McGee could have the greatest idea for a show ever. But if you haven't attached the showrunner from Two and a Half Men, have Brad Pitt attached to
it. Or James Brooks.
I mean, your idea won't even get through the fucking door. You have to be network approved,
mm-hmm.
and it's such a sad bummer thing, because I told myself I was never going to be the guy that said they took my idea, but I mean, so many great things that I pitched and I one sheeted things I had written out professionally and sent to my agent, and they sent forward the ideas had come out. They didn't steal them, but they were legitimate ideas because somebody else was doing them,
mm-hmm.
that was attached to somebody big, and it was just a huge bummer,
Yeah.
So And then the Bob and Tom thing happened. You know, after all these kind of, I went on a million auditions, I came within two guys of this big MSM project where they needed a host. What I do best is as a host reading off a teleprompter or being in the field. I'm a prepared host. That's what I do best, and I came this close to many projects, and they wanted a clean cut guy who, you know, didn't want to say fuck every 5 minutes and hadn't been on Playboy TV, and I got screwed every time. And finally, a guy from Bill from Playboy or from Bob and Tom said, "We're looking for a guy to go out in the field for the Bob and Tom show, go across the world or country and do what I do." And I thought, this is the greatest thing ever. And then because often the show refuses to accept change of any sort, they didn't eventually want to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they put equipment in my place, and I was, you know, having. I mean, again, it's the most fun I've ever had, and I just have accepted that that's, you know, what my place is. If it is a place on the show, you know,
man,
yeah,
it's Hollywood.
How come you don't do a podcast?
I couldn't. You know, you guys do great here. I don't know. I just.
You've never considered it.
Never considered it. And I don't know who I would, you know, who I would even talk to.
But I'm just saying it kind of lends itself to your strengths, talking with people and getting stuff out of them.
Like
Dr. Drew or
yeah, but I mean, like, to get, you know, you guys have now started to make your way, you know, up the ladder on the podcast list, and there's so many out there. I would just be another guy doing it, you know, and I don't.
There are a lot out there, but I don't know. There's got to be something you can do, Scott.
Oh, I mean, I know I'm doing a lot of different, you know, a lot of projects, you know, that I'm still pitching and working on, and I'm not discouraged. You know, I'm fine. There's a lot of things I can do, you know, so I'm not worried at all.
Are you in a relationship right now?
No, I was in it with a girl for when I moved back home. A girl I had grown up with was here, and we dated for about a year. And
you weren't Jewish enough.
She was, but that is the truth. Yeah,
really.
I mean, that's one of the reasons. Yeah,
I didn't know that existed. I mean,
I didn't know it existed in Indiana.
A lot of girls. Oh, yeah. A lot of girls want that are very involved in the Jewish community, want somebody equally as involved. And I found it all to be a bit ridiculous at times. And
are you considered irreverent in the Jewish world, at least? Or unorthodox, I guess?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, my dad's very, you know, he's not very Jewish, but he's as Jewish, you know, as he's Jewish. And, you know, and he follows the rules and the laws, and I just don't observe like that. So.
No.
But you're born into it. You were Jewish.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
So is this like Sunset Friday and Monday? Does he
make
do that
it sound
stuff,
like or? A drink?
No.
Hey, everybody.
No, I always think of Walter.
Shabbat.
The
Shabbat
big
on Friday.
Yeah, I won't roll.
Yeah.
I can't roll.
Yeah.
I can't bowl.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So.
I'm more religious now than I think I've ever been in my life, actually.
It's a spiritual thing.
I always go back to Daniel Tosh and people who say, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual.
No, it's an image.
It's like, you're not.
And he says,
girl, you're not attractive, but you are boring, or something like that. Yeah. I forget what it was.
And speaking, I don't know how much time you have left, but speaking of Daniel Tosh, when Comedy Central said, we're going to have you do this presentation pilot, I said, great. I need as many examples. I'm a producer by trade. I was producing all these shows I did, so I took as much material as I could and produced this. And then I said, please send me as much stuff as you can. And they said, we're going to send you Daniel Tosh's presentation pilot. And the same stage that I was going to do on, because that's where they do all their shows. And I saw his presentation pilot. And I thought to myself, and God bless him, because he proved me wrong, this is the worst fucking show I've ever seen in my life. It was his presentation pilot.
He is, yeah.
And he was.
I thought he was an acquired taste, and I always loved his stand-up. And I am amazed at how popular that show has become.
He wasn't a host, and that's fine. But it was so awful, and it wasn't funny. And I thought to my, and that's what really gave me the confidence to the show. I thought, if they greenlit this, then I'm in. And it didn't work like that. There was other people backing him, and then I learned at Comedy Central that unless you have a group of followers, not Twitter followers, but a huge group of followers, and you are an established comedian, you will never host a show on that
He
network.
Got somebody
or if
early.
Or a sister that works there.
Yeah. Was that the case?
I don't know.
Another comedian we could mention, but won't.
Yeah.
Daniel was represented by like William Morris or somebody else. I mean, when I first met him in Broad Ripple and he was first on the show, he was,
yeah,
I was like, you know, when you make conversation, I go, oh, William Morris. I'm like, well, you know, and you never know when Daniel's telling you the truth or not. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. You know, that's impossible. It's like Tom Cruise or something. No. He goes, no, they,
yeah,
they're in the Daniel Tosh business.
And it's, you know, I've always thought that, you know, I wouldn't want a William Morris. I would want some small boutique place that's hungry to make me a big star working hard for me. And but then you get to a point like him where you are big enough to a point where you just need the best representing.
Yeah.
You know? My guy, is probably at drinks right now, and it's 9 in the morning out there, so it never really worked for us. Yeah.
All right, so you're producing, you're sending stuff out, you're
I'm starting a whole thing of speaking. I'm not even going to get into it here, but a little motivational speaking.
Oh, that's cool.
I've been taking speech coaching for the last 6 months. And I've been writing for the speech is done, and there's a lot of things. That's really what I'm going to next.
What's your audience for that?
Millennials, which is a tough crowd to get booked at. But it's, you know, I was always and have been always great at getting people to make shit happen in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, not so much.
Right.
And I would have people that come to me in advice in Los Angeles when they first moved there, and I would give them 5 steps that they would need to get to where they need to be, and they would come back 6-7 months later and they'd say, you know what, that shit really fucking worked for me and you should go tell other people about this. And finally, a few months back here, I thought, you know what, maybe that's what I'll do, because again, I'm best when I'm prepared and I have a program to deliver and things are ready, you know, and I can go do that. So that's what we're doing.
Do you want to write a book?
No. I don't want to be that asshole.
Okay.
but they say to do what I'm going to do, you need to write a book. So
yeah, that's why I said
essentially
that,
I'm going to take my program and make it into a book, but I don't want to be the dick that, oh, you come get my book. It's great.
Have you seen my book? Yeah. See my tape? Yeah.
He sells a million of them. He's like, you know what? I'll be that asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Just go straight to Cliff Notes.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, you know, you can self-publish anything. I mean, you know, so it's so much easier now to do all these things than it used to be. So that's it. You know, I mean, I've met great people along the way. I, you know, I know I'll be back in Los Angeles someday or somewhere else, you know, but, my, you know, just got to figure it out. And if I hadn't gone through all this shit, I wouldn't be where I'm at right this very moment. So
that's what we should make. That's the thought we seem to be coming back to on the podcast.
Yeah.
That we go through all this shit and we were upset about it, but now it seems okay because
I mean,
you're where you're supposed to be.
Will your last job be here?
Yes.
Yeah, in some form. I don't know what that form is going to be, but I'll probably be sitting right here with someone. I'm not sure who it's going to be. But I'm always going to do the podcast because it's very important to me.
Yeah. I mean, not even the
really
podcast. I mean, that's, of course, is important, but you're...
No, I was talking about Bob and Tom initially, and then I switched to the podcast.
Sure.
I mean, I will be sitting here on the Bob and Tom show doing something with someone. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but I'll always do this podcast as long as these two will have me. So.
It's great to be, you know, to see you, and I'm lucky enough to meet you, and I've known Jason now for a while, to see you guys in a place where you don't have to defend yourself for an hour.
Oh,
you can have fun and
that's
be
one
yourself.
Of the things we said. It's like we're not
here to bust each other's balls.
And we're respectful, and we that starts with the audience, and we don't have to explain everything to them.
And when I first
by the hand.
Started listening, I would start to get uncomfortable sometimes. I was like, this is a very special chick, McGee.
Well, there have been a lot of those.
But I think that's just nice. I think, you know, people obviously are fans, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's what he keeps telling me. Well, that's what they both keep telling me.
Of course.
Well, this is your podcast. You need to be more real. And I'm like, well, we're talking to the guests. And it's like, no, you need to throw more stuff in about you. And I'm like,
well, it is. I mean, people come up to you. I identify with Chick a lot because we don't like it. Communicating with people so much. You know, we like being...
It just makes me uncomfortable. I mean, I'm okay with hello, but once you get into the conversation...
You mean personal interaction.
Yeah.
Not personal, but
I can't...
But do you get the feeling like I get a feeling in my gut when I know I have to interact with someone like, almost like in Urban Outfitters. I respect you. I love you. Mm-hmm. I think you're a great guy, but I got the feeling, this is going to be, you know, and I saw him and I, that's the way I am with everybody.
Yeah.
And I will, if we're all ever together and we're at a party, you will never see me leave. You'll at one point point turn around. If you haven't left yet and say, where the fuck did Scott go? Because I will not say goodbye to anybody. Mm-hmm. I will not, you know, I don't.
That's called the Marty Bender.
The Marty Bender?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, Jess does what she calls the Jess. Okay. She takes forever to
leave.
I'm
a terrible leaver, so I've adopted what you've done where I just leave. I don't just say anything now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Plus I don't like saying goodbye to people. Yeah. The awkwardness of, oh, thanks for inviting me. Then, okay. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
You people.
Yeah.
I just don't do, you know, all of these people, these girls I date out here and everybody, they all want to hang out and talk to people and they thrive on going out to dinner and drinks with everybody. And I think to myself, who teaches you to be like that?
Yeah, I missed that. I didn't do that. I didn't do the Broad Ripple thing. I didn't do any of those things. And I'm okay with that.
I did that. I just have no desire to share myself with any of these people. And then you meet these girls that you date, and they're like, you know, you should really share yourself more with people who love you. And I'm like, I
can't do what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's like two or three people on the planet.
Love me for not sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be quiet about it.
There.
You know?
Well, I always like to ask questions that maybe the listeners might be thinking.
Son of a bitch. I know. This is always like the last 5 minutes of the podcast.
This is the always awkward podcast. So who did you ask?
Indiana,
podcast
hello.
Is over.
No, I'm listening. Go. No.
Go. Play.
No, I'm listening. Go.
No, you say, you know, when you say, hey, I worked for Playboy TV for 7 years, people immediately have a thought of you're just lying in a bed with playmates all around. You know, I'm just, you know, someone's going to, people are going to think that. My guess is kind of getting to know you that you probably turned down many more women than you actually.
That makes me sound like a stud, but yes. I mean,
I'm saying because you probably like, those women are not real bright or.
Oh, I don't mind. You can be as dumb as you can. If you're hot, I don't care. No,
okay,
but the part of Playboy people don't understand is the fact that those shows, I worked on a show that was kind of like the 60 minutes of sex. And it was, I'm telling you, nobody believes it. Watch the show sometime. It was a lot of work. I was sent out as a producer, a host, and then I would go with my camera guy and you wouldn't even have time to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. it was 3 days of 14 hours a day of shooting a show. And it was a lot of work, and it taught me a lot, but you don't have time. But to answer your question full circle, I mean, I just, you know, I don't mind if someone's dumb, but I just, I didn't want my dick to fall off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's the same.
And certain girls might have had a reputation, and you're like, I'm not touching that.
Well, I was with porn stars. They all had reputations. Yeah. But oftentimes, we would go to these swinger events where you don't want to bang anybody at a swinger event.
No.
Or you'd be in Tokyo doing a story on you know, on rope torture. You didn't want to be, you know, you didn't want to, you know. You didn't go home and say, I need to jerk off. You know?
No.
So did you ever go to the mansion, I assume?
I went to the mansion. It was. I always say once, every guy should have the opportunity to go one time to the mansion. And it was, and I remember going there. I remember seeing Jesse Jackson walking in on one side and Kareem Abdul on the other side. And it was the most random people go. And and it's, when you come from the era I grew up in, it was, you know, to be, oh my God, it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And
is it smaller than you think it is?
No,
be?
It's as big as you think. And it's exactly as old and vintagey.
Yeah.
And you can almost hear the walls speak. I mean, you know you're around filthy greatness in there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
What a great way to put it.
Yeah. And it was Hefner, you know, is the most articulate interview I've ever had in my life. You know, he'll talk about anything and won't skip a beat and won't stumble. And he didn't know me. You know, he apparently the word was that he hated the network, the Playboy TV network. So, you know, we never knew. That place is, you know, it was great. I went many times, but, you know, but it wasn't like the 60s. James Caan wasn't in the bag, you know, in Pound Town and, you know, and people weren't, you know, running ass everywhere. But craziness still happens, you know. So.
Gosh, I don't know what we should name this. I've heard Filthy Greatness, Pound Town.
I look back and I said to this girl the other day, my lady friend, I said, you know what, if I were to go tomorrow, you know, if I get iced tomorrow, two things. Number one, be honest at my funeral. You can tell people I was a dickhead. You know, I mean, you know, all these funerals, everyone says, yeah, he's such a great guy. I'm not that nice of a guy. I'm a generous, a thoughtful guy. But number two, if I went tomorrow, I've done so many great things. I've been mm-hmm. to so many great places that guys would pay to be to and experience. I mean, the people I've met, you've met awesome people. I'm sure you might say a lot of the same things, but I don't know, you know, I would have no regrets when it comes to that portion of my life. So
you've exceeded your own expectations.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
Because you're not done yet.
Well, I'm not done yet, but I haven't done greatness. I've just experienced great things. Yeah. You know? So.
Okay.
Cool. And there's probably a reason that you're the person that's experienced that, because your average Joe would probably lose his fucking mind.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Certainly succumb to something along the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I tell you, the best thing I've done is this radio show. I mean, being a part of that radio show is giving me the most fulfillment. And there's no, like I said in the beginning, there's no payoff to it. Yeah. It's just been the most fun, you know? So
well, that says a lot.
Well, it is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it about it? Is because you kind of grew up knowing it?
You grew up knowing it. You grew up seeing people that you loved, you know, mm-hmm. like my dad, you know, enjoying the radio show.
Yeah, that's the first time you probably saw your dad really laugh. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so, and when you're a kid and you're growing up and you hear mm-hmm. someone saying, hey, sports fans, and he's saying, you know, chick, and, you know, it's, and you see your parent like laughing, you think, mm-hmm. God, I wonder why he's laughing. I hope I can understand that laugh. Mm-hmm. And then I remember 12 years ago, the first time I was on the show, he said to me, you know, that he's a runner. He said, that was the most ever I've enjoyed a run. I listened to you and on that show. And that was years ago. It was the first time I was ever on. But, and I remember I was listening to the first tape a while ago. And the first thing you said was, so is Potasnik Jewish or what is that? this is like in 2002.
Or what is that?
Yeah. You were on the show back in 2002?
Bob was a huge Playboy TV Succetera. My show was called Succetera.
Oh.
And somebody had fallen out. It was like right before the holidays. And Joni, emailed me and said, hey, why don't you come on the show to fill? You know, it was just a time fill. I wasn't.
So you were in the studio though?
Oh, it was not this studio.
In the back.
In the back. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right,
we
were all. This one, yeah.
I felt like I'm, yeah, I was in, high up.
Yeah. Yeah, we had higher chairs back then. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you covered this, Jess, but just the other day when we revisited Chick's sports theme.
Yeah.
And we did the Chick, and
we talked about it in the beginning.
Did you? Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. But hit the joy.
Yeah.
On,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what complete joy is on his face, but I think I saw it a couple days ago.
You know, I mean, I kept the video on my phone and it was fun and it was just, you know, so I mean, like I said to them in the beginning, like we'll never be the best, the most funny on the show, but to be in the room, I posted a picture on Facebook after, and I said, and I got abused last week. And I said, aside even with the abuse, being in the room with these people and laughing is the most fun you can possibly have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Appreciate that. How do I get a hold of Scott if I want to give him a job and I'm a big time Hollywood producer?
Oh, I don't need a job.
You got a
Twitter at Potasnik, Potasnik, and I'm on Facebook and all ScottPotasnik.com will soon be up. So
that's awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's being built as we speak.
All right. So, thank you, Scott. Thank you for the popcorn. Thank you for the peanut butter Pop Tarts.
Mm-hmm. Come bearing gifts.
It's not too late to come by my house.
What were the Pop-Tarts you really liked?
The sugar cookie.
I think there might still be some here.
There's no way they're back there. They're special edition. There's no way.
There's a shortage?
Yeah, they're special edition. They're only out for the holidays.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll see you next time. Tell your friends and review it on iTunes and be nice. Or... what?
Some dude gave it a 1-star because we weren't putting out enough of them.
We're working as hard as we can, okay?
As Jess says, they're free.
Okay. They're free, huh? Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jason. This is Bob Schneider. You will enjoy him. Listen to him more.